Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Relationships, love, and sex, the spices of life, driving us all and commanding the wheel, is the media darling in the complex world of human behavior. Expert therapist, author, and radio host, Dr. Jane Greer. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy this fast-moving ride with fascinating guests. HealthyLife.net welcomes you to the Doctor On Call Hour with Dr. Jane Greer.
Hi, everybody. Helping yourself to know-how is why you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Doctor On Call Hour at HealthyLife.net. Well, it's February, it's the month of the heart and love and Valentine's Day, and it is hot, it's happening here, it's sizzling, because it is Let's Talk Sex Time. Welcome to the show. We're going to bring you the most compelling research and practical guidance on relationships and mental health. It's about understanding ourselves and others. We feature editors, authors, and therapists to share the latest in the world of human behavior. And today is a great show with psychotherapist and author Ken Page. But that's not all. We're also going to be shrink-wrapping with none other than Jake Cruz, our amazing producer and the Velvet Voice host here at HealthyLife.net, where we indulge in all the latest celebrity news, exploring the ups and downs of their relationships, and most importantly, what are the lessons we can take away from their stories. Okay, let's get started with my guest, Ken Page. Ken is a licensed, celebrated psychotherapist and the host of the Deeper Dating Podcast, known for his insightful approaches to cultivating authentic, lasting relationships. He's also the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. Ken's innovative deeper dating events offer a meaningful alternative to traditional dating scenarios, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to the show, Ken. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm so glad to be here on Valentine's Month with you.
It is the month for deeper dating and intimacy for sure. So it's really terrific to have you here to share your wisdom and the experience that you've gathered. And let's jump right in with the idea that you talk about in deeper dating. Core gifts. Okay, let's talk about what is a core gift and how do you identify them so that you can really help somebody transform their approach to dating and relationships?
Wonderful first question, and so important because that's at the very heart of what I do and what I teach. And in the work that I do, people experience two different that go together, but usually in dating advice don't. And one is personal growth and self-love. And the other is being able to find healthy love. And, of course, those are connected. So for everybody who is looking for a relationship, a loving, sustainable relationship, the way that you date, the way that you approach dating, determines the kind of love that you're going to find. If you are not healing, changing, growing, and expressing deeper self-love in the way you're looking for love, then you're not going to get what you want. The heart of this is authenticity. So here's a great way to understand what your core gifts are. Those are the most authentic parts of you. Those are the parts of you where your intimacy magic lies. The way to think about this is just to picture a target. And okay. Picture this target has three rings. And this is your whole intimacy journey in a tiny map. Okay, so this target has three circles. The inside circle is what I call your gift zone. That's where you feel your humanity, and you can hold your humanity and your truth with compassion. That's a hard place to live in. That's a lifetime of work to be able to do that, but it's the work of growth and healing. But because it's hard, because we get hurt, because we get misunderstood, we develop the second ring, and that is what I call the zone of protection. That's where we're maybe numb, or where we follow all this dating advice that says you have to be more this, you have to be less that, you have to change this, and we create a kind of not really so authentic personality to get us through the world and through our dating life. The problem with that is that when we are not living in authenticity, we get sexually and romantically attracted to people who are not right for us, because we're not leading with our very heart and our soul and our authenticity. We're a false self, and we attract people that somehow sense that insecurity, and it's not going to work. The third ring out is a really painful ring. That's the zone of disconnection. That's where we're into addiction, despair, intense loneliness. Most of us know what that place feels like, and God knows that's not where we want to live. This is the intimacy journey, to live more and more from your gift zone, where your core gifts lie. Those are the most authentic parts of you, and this is the miracle. When you organize your being around the honoring of your authentic self, all of a sudden you start attracting and being attracted to people who can love you for who you are. That is the magic. So the first step is, what are my core gifts? What are the parts of me that are really authentic, but maybe I haven't thought I was allowed to show in my intimacy life? Because those are my magic. Those are my keys. So in all of my work, the first thing that we do is identify our core gifts. In my 6-month intensive, we spent 3 rich, amazing months on that, and that's the foundation of this journey. So how do you do that? You ask yourself 2 questions in an ongoing way. And the 2 questions are, what in my interactions with the world hurt my heart? And what interactions with the world fill my heart? When you know that, you can begin to identify, you can begin to identify your core gifts. So, for some of us, we have a deep sensitivity, and we feel ashamed of that. We've been hurt because of that. The world hasn't understood us, so we hide that part of ourselves, or we hide ourselves. Well, the work is to name the gift, and to start honoring it. Start honoring and dignifying that sensitivity. Instead of telling ourselves, we're wrong to feel so sensitive. Excuse me, I have to clear my throat. Sorry.
Instead of telling ourselves, take a sip of water.
yes. Instead of telling ourselves, like, oh, I'm too sensitive, I have to be tougher, I have to be stronger, instead we say, hey, maybe my nervous system is telling me something here. I'm going to honor this sensitivity because it's a gift of mine. When you do that, you get more and more allergic to bad behavior from your partners. You sense more and more what feels true to you. And your attractions actually begin to change. And you learn a level of self-love that is life-changing. That's why the search for love is a journey of healing. We don't get taught that. And I've devoted my whole professional life to creating a map to that healing journey that also leads to healthy love.
Well, it certainly sounds compelling. Let me ask you, for our listeners out there who have different pieces of themselves, their sensitivity, their vulnerability. Certainly authenticity is being real and honest with your feelings and being able to identify them and then being able to speak your truth, share them with a partner. In the work that you've done, Ken, helping people get in touch with their core gifts, can you give us some examples of what those have been specifically? You just mentioned sensitivity. What else did people find in looking inward and saying, all right, what gives me, you know, what makes me disappointed or upset and what gives me a sense of fulfillment? What else did they tag so that people have a concrete notion of, well, what does that mean? What am I looking for inside myself? Am I angry? Am I restless? Am I impatient? Like, what are core gifts that people can identify?
Yes. Well, core gifts, but there are 3 questions that I could start with asking everyone to consider. One question is, have you felt in your life that a part of you, that you're kind of too sensitive for the world. Those are your core gifts of sensitivity, and then they need to be named. In what way am I sensitive like that? Sensitive to joy, sensitive to connection, sensitive to interruptions of connection, missed connection. And you start noticing that, and it's a way to honor your nervous system that begins to tell you what your core gifts are.
In addition to sensitivity, are there other core gifts that have evolved or unfolded as people have said, well, you know, what makes me feel upset or what makes me feel happy? Like how would somebody know?
Yeah.
Above and beyond being sensitive, this is a very essential piece of me.
Yes. I mentioned that one first because that is the overwhelming biggest one that I tend to find. The next question is, have I felt kind of too intense for the world, too fierce for the world, too wild for the world, too kind of alive and passionate for the world? Have I been punished for that? Have I been misunderstood because of that? These are the core gifts of intensity. We have core gifts of sensitivity, core gifts of intensity. That's another one to look at. Our personal power, how have we gotten in trouble because of our personal power? This is something that a lot of women experience for sure, because culturally women are told that sense of power, that empowerment is maybe scares away the alpha male, all of these kind of like old sexes in the new age bottles that we get. But so that's another one is, like, what are the ways that you, in your need, in your truth-telling, in your way of living, have felt kind of too powerful for the world? A third one is, how do you feel like the way that you see the world is kind of different than most people? There's like a unique twist that you have on things that sets you apart and makes you feel different. What is that? Because those are core gifts of creativity. Those are three major classification areas of core gifts. But I'm going to share another one, too, that I've really learned about in doing my intensives. And that is the core gift of needing love. People get very ashamed of their longing for love because they're told that it's codependent, that it's too needy, that it's going to scare people away. But the need for deep love and deep communication is an incredibly powerful core gift that so many of us shame ourselves for. So that's the next category, is the category of need. Because it's the part of you that needs love fiercely that is one of your greatest gifts in the world, because the people who need love are the people who work to grow and make themselves available to love. They're the ones who build love into their lives. So that's another one, is this need for love and deep connection. And a lot of us get a lot of wounding in the world because we feel like that's codependent, when in fact, that need for love, this is what I say all the time, your longing for love is not weakness, it's wisdom. So those are some key areas of core gifts.
The distinction that I oftentimes, along the lines of what you're saying, will make with people is that there is a difference between needing and being needy. And needy is, in fact, when you start to, you know, to engage and experience more of the codependency you're talking about. But needing is healthy. That is the fiber of relationships that enables people to connect and be intimate. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about Taylor Swift has a song, Blank Space. And she says in it, you know, give me a week or give me a weekend and I can be the girl that you want. Well, that would be the complete opposite of what you're describing. That in being true to yourself and tapping into your core gifts, you're not putting on a face or looking to be who you're not to attract the other person or to be who you think they want you to be. You're being true to yourself. And if you are hurt or wounded, it sounds like what you're saying, you're owning your sensitivity. And then in the voice of authenticity, you do need to deal with it and share it with that person. Hey, you know, when you did this or when you said this, that was hurtful to me, rather than dismissing it and saying, you know, I'm too sensitive.
Exactly. I mean, you're really articulating the work of intimate conversations, but it's scary to do that. And
yes.
That's why we need help and we need support, but also why this is like one of the greatest journeys of our lives, because it is a journey to become who we are. But just to go back for a moment to what you said about the difference between need and neediness, I just really want to underscore that, because it's so important. And I think that this is something people don't understand, is that when you shame your need, it turns into neediness. Need shamed
right.
becomes neediness. Need honored becomes dignity.
Right. Very, 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 very well said. And it's so important. You know, so many times people think if they let themselves depend on or turn to another person, again, then they're dependent, and it's dependency as opposed to exactly what you're describing, recognizing that depending is strength, and that's what enables you to connect with other people. But I want to circle back to what you were saying in terms of, you know, how important it is to be authentic, to speak your truth, to say how you feel. Do you find, I mean, I certainly have this with a lot of people, I encourage them to share how they feel, what's going on for them, in the non-blaming, non-critical way so their partner can hear it. And what they are met with is, you're too sensitive. You're being ridiculous. They get countered. They get negated. The person will turn it around and say, well, you do the same thing. You know, I don't understand what you're talking about. And so sometimes holding on to that truth, their sensitivity, and being able to be open and honest and authentic with it, with their partner, they're not getting heard and they're not getting related to. And so they get blamed and come away from the encounter thinking or more confirmed that they are too sensitive. So that rather than it being a strengthening and an enhancing, it becomes a reinforcer of, yep, I'm too sensitive. How do you deal with that?
I mean, like, to me, that was, for many years, you know, growing up a gay kid with Holocaust survivor parents, where kind of survival and toughness was everything, and I was super sensitive. That's the story of my life, and that was kind of my recognition. That I get it, and that's so much of the work that we do. So one thing is, and I think this is really important, is that when you can actually put a word on this and say, this is a core gift, it gives you a dignity. It's not just, oh, I felt this. It's, this is a core gift of mine. I need to feel like it's being honored and seen. So that's a tool that helps. And then I think we need support, because pulling yourself out from that kind of like quicksand of it's my fault, and actually seeing the gift there, is we really need help with that. And for two reasons. One, because it's so hard and it's almost impossible to do alone. And two, and this is like a whole other point, our biggest immaturities swirl around our greatest gifts. Because we've had to develop all these defenses, because when you get hurt in the places where you live, where you care the most, that's where you build the biggest defenses. So the formula, the kind of like archetype formula, which I think is so amazing, is underneath our defenses, which is like our not so great behavior sometimes, underneath every defense lies a wound. Within every wound lies a gift. And within every gift lies a portal to our deepest self. That's a formula that we can use to grow.
Right. And I think what you're saying is so important and powerful. You really do need help. You do need support with this, because you can embrace your core gift and say, well, I'm not too sensitive. This is how I feel. This is what it is. You said something hurtful. You did something thoughtless, and it's upsetting to me. But the blowback that so many people encounter from, and the, you know, the need for that approval and acknowledgement, or at least to feel understood that the person gets what they, you know, that they did something that was hurtful and just relates to it, is oftentimes so hard and so challenging, but so important. In any event, such a wonderful, helpful roadmap to being able to identify the most important things within yourself and hold on to them. So we're going to come back in just a minute. Everybody stay tuned. We're taking a break. There's going to be more Let's Talk Sex with Ken Page at HealthyLife.net. Back in a minute.
How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com. The positive side of podcasts. Always have been, always will be. Uncensored, entertaining, timeless talk. HRNpodcast.com. Take a break from the dark side.
Welcome back to the Doctor on Call Hour. We are talking Let's Talk Sex. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and we're going to continue talking with Ken Page, the author of Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. So if you're going out on a date and you're meeting somebody online or on an app, how do you suggest people apply the principles of deeper dating to find somebody that's a fit for them? Like, not to say, no, you're not for me. How do you know how to continue to give somebody a chance? It's really a question. I get that all the time. Somebody goes out, they're immediately turned off, and they're like, well, why should I give them a chance? And to what you're saying is, you know, if you can be your real self and use your core gifts, the question then becomes, how did that person relate to you? Because that would kind of guide you in terms of giving them a chance, right?
Exactly. You know, I think that, like, two patterns that we easily fall into when things don't feel right or when we have a need. Someone in my intensive, very wise woman, said something so amazing once, and I quote it all the time. She said, it's really important in an early relationship to not shell your bigger asks, because you want to know who this person is. And we tend to shelve our bigger asks or shelve the things that don't feel right. And the two tendencies are either, like, leave/overreact, or shelve our needs, our wants, and our hurts. We don't want to do either of those. We want to kind of follow that really simple 12-step paradigm, which is, say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. And when we do that, and we're confident that that's what we did, we learn so much about who that other person is. Because, you know, we're all afraid, so it's so easy to, like, flee before we get humiliated, flee before we get hurt, flee before we look like a fool. You know, that's something I did in my dating life for years and years. And a piece that goes with that is, like, in relation to what you said about, like, how do we know when it's just not right? And how do we know when we should actually interact to find out if it's not right? And I think like, so I think like a key distinction here is character. My friend Hara Moreno, who's the editor-at-large of Psychology Today, says there are three C's that you must look for in a partner. The first is character, second is character, and the third is character. So I tell people, like, when it comes to online dating, swing out as much as is reasonably authentic to you in terms of the person's age, the person's weight, and God knows the person's location. Ask yourself, if this person was a soulmate, would I be willing to travel those extra miles? If this was someone who could be my soulmate? And, you know, the answer is yes. So I say, find out. We have the luxury of getting to know people before we hop on a plane and before we take those big steps. So, you know, I think at the beginning, stretch your parameters and then take it from there. Don't preemptively narrow your parameters, like the person has to be only 20 miles away from me and no more than that, or the person has to be uptown because I'm uptown. So that's one piece. Watch for the tendencies to flee reflexively because the person doesn't like your music, or they weigh 5 pounds more, or they're 5 pounds older, or 5 years older, or 5 years younger. Watch for that stretch in the beginning and let yourself discover who that person is.
Right. Those are great tips. I often say to people it has more to do along the lines of character with values that you have, not with the more topical, superficial, what you like, what you don't like, taste, things you have in common. All that is well and good, but all that appearance, all that changes. And what really is steadfast and enduring are your values.
Yes.
Trust, honesty, you know, the things that make you, that fill you with integrity and make you a good person. Those are the things you want. You know, I remember one of my gals was out on a date, and I said to her, so how did you feel with him? How did he make you feel? And Ken, if I tell you, she looked at me with wide-eyed, stunned, and said, huh? I said, well, how did you feel? Did you feel comfortable? Could you be yourself? Could you be open? Talk about things you like? Were you nervous that you had to impress him? She said, it never occurred to me how I felt. And she realized that she was so far from authenticity.
Yeah.
And being open and being genuine about what she liked, what she didn't like. Case in point, they went to dinner. He ordered a salad with blue cheese, which she can't stand. And she ate it. I said, wait a minute, you ate the blue cheese? She said, well, you know, I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I said, no, this is, first of all, it was presumptuous to order food for you without asking.
Yeah.
And second of all, this is not about hurting his feelings. This is hurting your own feelings by not honoring your tastes and your preferences. So that is, you know, that's where it becomes very tricky and often challenging for people, because being authentic sometimes feels like risking approval or being a good person and looking out for the other person. Right? It gets a little slippery.
It does. And even in the description that you just gave, that story that you just gave, I would start to wonder, is there a core gift of goodness, generosity, and sensitivity in this person that she would err on the side of giving herself up? Because always, 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 when we look for problem behaviors or growth areas, start with what the gift is underneath that doesn't yet have the skill to make itself known. Like this gift of thoughtfulness needs its complement, which is the ability to say, oh, no, I don't like blue cheese.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a great point. So where you lose yourself is where you want to start to put a marker and say, if you're giving up what's important or meaningful or, you know, the core of who you are, what really is self-expression, if you start to give that up or lose your voice, dig deep. That's where you can find that core gift, right?
Exactly.
Smack in the middle.
Exactly.
And then start to use it in a way to hold on to yourself. Because if you hold on to your core gift, you're going to hold on to yourself.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know, great. It's great advice.
So life-changing. And for me, I was someone who was chronically single for decades. I actually started a support group for chronically single shrinks like me. And, you know, I had to really become a student of what I needed to learn. And, you know, I did that, and I kind of taught and traced a map as I went. Like, I left breadcrumbs, you know, and so I could follow them and create a map for other people. And I've been in a wonderful marriage now for 16 years. Well, married for 8, but together for 16. And it's only because I learned these beautiful and important insights about self-honoring that I was able to do that. And if I could just share one concept with your listeners that I think might be really helpful, it's this. Consider framing your entire journey to find love around this question. Does my soul feel safe and secure with this person?
What did you say? Safe and what? I didn't hear that.
Seen.
Yeah, oh, damn, that is so powerful.
It is, because when you make that your question, it's not, does he like me, do I like him, or you know, a million other questions. It becomes, when you make that your question, you will find goodness, and you'll find character, and those are so important. And when you have goodness and character mixed with mutual attraction, that's happiness. That's where you want to build your home in the world. And the other piece that happens that is so big when you make that your framing question is that you develop a more secure attachment style, because somewhere deep inside, your inner child knows, I am finally being listened to. I'm finally being taken care of. So that's why we heal when we approach our search for love.
It is so, and being able to gauge who you're with and where you're at and the quality of intimacy based on, do I feel safe with this person, which is trust, foundation of trust, and do I feel seen by this person, which is being intimate, being known, and feeling safe to be real and to be authentic and to share, is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Well, Ken, I have to say, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show. This is great information, and I thank you so much for sharing it. For those interested, deeper dating, how to drop the games of seduction and discover the power of intimacy, it's available on Amazon. Thank you so much, Ken. Thanks
and
for joining
us. If I could say, Jane, even more importantly, the Deeper Dating podcast with like 200 free episodes where I teach this material.
Fantastic. So the podcast and the book, it's out there for you all to partake and start the transformation and the life-changing happenings in your life. Stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to be shrink-wrapping with Jake Cruz right here at HealthyLife.net. Back in a minute.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com. Remember, media with integrity, www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to the Doctor on Call Hour with Let's Talk Sex. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and it is now time for Shrink Wrap with Jay Cruz. Jay has extensive experience as a broadcasting professional. He's used his background and experience to help produce, coach, and further the positive vision of Healthy Life Radio and all of its numerous shows. And the celebrity stars, they shine so brightly, and we all look up to them, yet we're puzzled when they fall. So Shrink Wrap is here to shed light on all and talk about not only what we can learn from the trials and triumphs of celebrities, but all relationships. Okay, Jay, it is time to dive into the world of celebrity news. And it has been a period of time with a lot of emotional stories going on. It's certainly front and center, and you've lived it and breathed it and experienced it and know it firsthand. Are the fires. So we've got to jump in and talk about the disaster that just fell upon so many people, how devastating life transformed in a matter of minutes, and fires that destroyed not only homes, but lives, communities are grappling with unimaginable loss. The physical loss is just inconceivable. The emotional recovery is just unbelievable. It's grief, it's trauma, it's smoke, it's tell us firsthand, up front and personal, what it was.
It was a little bit of everything people saw on the news and more. Here in Southern California, a couple times a year, usually in the fall around October, we get a situation known as the Santa Ana winds. Santa Ana is a city in Orange County. And we get these really intense, very high volume, 75, 80 mile an hour plus winds. And they come in and then they, you know, and a lot of times here in the fall, it's still very warm and we have dry conditions. So that's typically when this happens. But with, you know, weather changing, I'm not going to get into climate change or not climate change, but the Santa Ana winds came later or came again in January, and it was a perfect situation for this disaster. With we had a lot of rain, so there was more grass and brush, and some was unkempt, and the high winds, a dry time, and I don't know what started the initial spark, but once it caught, it just flew through. The winds exasperated the situation so much. People tried to escape. There's too many people trying to evacuate. And the aftermath has really just been, you know, crazy. First of all, there's people that want to point fingers at why this or this didn't happen. And then the silver lining was seeing that there is still some collective humanity in Los Angeles, or anywhere on Earth sometimes. People got together, donated items, donated clothes, donated time, donated their energy. They helped wild animals. They rescued animals. They've housed people. Corporations like Planet Fitness offered places for people to shower for free. Airbnb gave people like free Airbnb rentals for a week or so, just so people could land on their feet and figure out their next move. You know, addition to the homes and, you know, the possessions that were in there. There's a lot of well-known stuff. Obviously, the Palisades, Pacific Palisades, is a very nice, very affluent area in Los Angeles, just north of Santa Monica. Beautiful area. People love to live there, and that includes people who have succeeded in life, in the entertainment world or in business. And, you know, this is part of their reward for working hard, living in a great place like that. Obviously, there's also a lot of, you know, just items like music collectors, music studios, art, these people that collected things like that. So there's priceless art collections destroyed, priceless music collections destroyed, and a lot of things like that. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of musicians who are getting together, raising, instrument drives to get people. A lot of musicians that were in the recording industry are professional musicians that need an instrument to get back to get to work, so they can figure out their next move. So people coming together, and even big companies lending time to do this to help people get back on their feet, just reminds me that the human beings do have goodness in our heart, and we do care for each other when the chips are down. Other than that, the smoke was really bad. The stress of the environment was stressful, and not the best way to start a year, or not the best thing to have at any time, but, it's certainly, I'm celebrating the Chinese New Year because it came in late January, and it is a new year and kind of a time for new beginning, and it happens to be my Chinese astrological year, Year of the Snake, so...
Oh, Lord.
So, kind of an untraditional start of the new year, just to start it on a good positive thing. You wake up, maybe your day starts off wrong, and you go, I'm just going to shake this and restart my day. So I think Los Angeles is kind of restarting our year, and I think the last week or so I've seen a lot of signs pointing back to, L.A. is coming back.
So to your point, L.A. is coming back, the devastation is just so pervasive. What are people actually doing? Is there reconstruction? Are they going to start rebuilding homes? Are they looking to move away? What are the contingency plans? What's happening with school for children? What's happening with reuniting with pets? Like, have there been organized efforts? How are people living their lives? You see the headlines and you go, my God, it's so devastating. And then it's not the news anymore. Then it's a plane crash, that's the news, or, the turmoil going on politically in the government. And so the devastation and, complete trauma of the fires becomes yesterday's news. But people are still living. This is their life. This is the aftermath of ruin and destruction. So what do you see people doing? How are they going on with their lives?
The best they can, whatever their particular situation is. I mean, friends have opened up their homes and, have extra room. They're housing families or children to go to school, and, the parents maybe make a... People are doing what they can. People are offering what they can. If they have an extra room, they're allowing friends and family to come. People are heavily involved in helping pets and animals. There's a huge LA and San Francisco are certainly a couple of places that are big in the animal rescue movement. And the animal, there's a lot of restaurants that allow pets. I mean, people love their dogs. People love Palisades is also an area close to a lot of people who had horses and horse ranches. They use the Rose Bowl to get them out of harm's way. And there's just been other animal rescue organizations throughout the region, throughout the state that have done their best as far as that is going. Everyone's making the best that they can. It's not perfect for everyone, and there's still a lot of, as far as the rebuilding, that's going to take a long time. I don't know exactly what the plan is, but, the fires have been officially contained and are out. There are no fires currently going in Los Angeles. We had one, then it was 2, 3, 4, 5, and then it eventually, it did get contained and controlled. So at least the burning is done, and now the rebuilding will happen. As far as all the construction at that area, I don't really know. I heard just from somebody who was recently in Lahaina, and, you talk about, here today, gone tomorrow, as far as the news cycle. That was like a year and a half ago, not quite 2 years, Lahaina, and Maui burned. Sort of a similar situation, high winds, and then, a lot of devastation.
Something that's also come in the investigations, and I'll wrap up this segment on this note, is that a lot of homes with the smart meters, there's something to that. So if you have a smart meter in your home, you might want to think twice about that and maybe try to stay off that as long as you can. Because they have lithium-ion batteries, and there's a lot of reports that are saying that those sort of exasperated many of the homes that were involved and burned, which sometimes people might see, why didn't that tree burn and why did the home burn type of thing. The smart meters exasperated, you know, some of the situation. But either way, it happened. We're going to try to learn from it, try to educate anyone involved, and, you know, it's a point for us to maybe learn from, move forward, do the best we can, come together, and, you know, help a neighbor out best we can.
Well, those are the heart of humanity, and that's what it really takes in order to survive trauma and tragedy and find our strength in the midst of it to overcome the trials and tribulations. So thank you for sharing that with us, and stay with us all now, because we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have more shrink wrap with Jay Cruz and myself. Back in a minute.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person, Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com. or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com. How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me, and what about me, are the titles of 2 separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me? Or What About Me? By Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, we are back at Doctor on Call, Let's Talk Sex Show, here with me, Dr. Jane Greer. I'm shrink-wrapping with Jay Cruz, and we are going to shift gears now to talk about how, despite trial and tribulation and devastation, the stars still come out in full force to celebrate not only the Grammys, but also on Saturday night, a lot of the musicians, Jay, came out and raised money for the people, you know, who suffered during the fire, and really, you know, to contribute aid and charity to do so. So having said that, a lot of those folks wound up at the Grammys, and the Grammys had a real surprise punch this year. With everybody, you know, on everybody's tongue was the win that Beyonce finally secured. It was after years of anticipation and fans waiting for her to win. And, of course, you remember the infamous Kanye West when Taylor Swift won, I think back in 2017, 18, and he interrupted and said, you know, nice you got a Grammy, but it should go to Beyonce and, you know, really slammed Taylor at that moment. So it's been a long time that people have been watching and waiting for when is Beyonce going to get that Grammy. So this time, Beyonce, who is a rhythm and blues artist, did a country album, Country Carter, and actually won Best Country Album of the Year and won the Grammy for Best Artist of the Year. Got some thoughts on that?
Oh, I got a lot of thoughts on that.
Let's hear.
Yeah.
You're the musician, and you know the music, you know the world of the musicians. Share what you know and what your experience is.
Well, I don't see Beyonce being a country artist of Grammy champion. You know, there's a lot of artists who have dedicated their life to the country genre, if you will, and everything that goes with that, country music artist. Beyonce is very popular. She's very good, but winning the award of the Grammy Award over other country artists who are truly country artists is strange. Now, this certainly isn't the first musician to cross genres. I don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of people who have David Bowie sort of went rhythm and blues and soul back in the 70s from, you know, an avant-garde rocker who he was. And, you know, other bands have crossed over, you know, in the different pop, R&B, rock and roll type of categories. And, you know, country and rock have their thing. And if you listen to country music right now, there is a lot of rhythm and blues or hip-hop and rap influence, and that's sort of maybe just a sign of the times and influences that younger people who are now the current IT musicians up today have those influences. However, yeah, they have a right to do what they want, but Grammy voters maybe should, you know, stick to the categories and keep things in their lane. If it's going to be nominated as a country album, you know, stick to country artists. Maybe create a new category for, you know, whatever this is. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad album. I'm not saying she doesn't deserve a Grammy, because she certainly does. I just happen to know there's a lot of, you know, in country music, there's a lot of artists who really are true to the craft. There's a lot of artists in all genres who are true to the craft. Metallica, famously, back in 1989, didn't get a Grammy because Jethro Tull got that. Now, Jethro Tull's not a heavy metal band, but they won that category over Metallica, who clearly is. I think Metallica also lost out this year to another questionable non-heavy metal act that was given the heavy metal title. So the Grammys has a little, you know, they sort of color outside of the lines occasionally, and I think it's great sometimes to see the performances, and it's always interesting to see a room full of the celebrities. You know, we'll get the Oscars and the Golden Globes and get to see the Hollywood and the actors and TV stars pretty soon. But it's cool to see the musicians in the room and the interesting jams that happen. Steven Tyler had a fundraiser that he does every year and a great concert with a variety of other artists, you know, after party. And, you know, things like that are a lot of fun. You mentioned the L.A. Fire benefit concerts. The owner of the L.A. Clippers actually matched the $100 million that was raised from donations to that cause for the L.A. Fire relief, as you mentioned at the beginning. So that concert last week raised a lot of money. A lot of those artists were still in town and, you know, obviously did the Grammys. But Beyonce, cool artist, talented, wish her the best. Country, there's going to be an asterisk next to that, a little footnote for, you know, that particular award, in my opinion. I don't think I'm the only one.
Well, it's certainly a compelling opinion because, you know, they said that she had chosen real instruments like banjos and organs and strings in an article in The Time rather than the eschewed artificial intelligence and digital fillers. She had cameos by Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson and did a reverent treatment of the Beatles' Blackbird. They said the album was a reclamation of the black roots of country and the role women have played in its history. And in her acceptance speech, she dedicated the award to Linda Martell, who was the first black woman to play the Grand Ole Opry. It feels like that she was embracing her roots and making a statement. more than making the declaration of becoming a country artist. In other words, Taylor Swift, when she moved out of country and changed genres into pop, she stayed in pop. A few of her songs could be country, but they're pretty much pop. The question is Beyonce going to continue to make country albums and do country music, or was this more one avenue of self-expression that she wanted to make? And, you know, to my guest Ken Page, this is not her authentic self per se. This is a part of who she is. She's got the authenticity for country, but it's not predominantly the artistry that she pursues. And are we going to see or hear more country music coming from her? That remains to be seen.
That's a great question. And, you know, I mean, artists go through phases and different periods where they're into one type of creativity over another one, or they're more interested in changing directions, and that's fine. I think that's great. I love artists that change and maybe keep us guessing and don't put out
right.
the same cookie-cutter album. Even if fans love that because they love what you did and they want you to keep doing the same. But
right.
as someone who appreciates art, I like to see a variety and people, you know, making some changes. So that is the big question. Is she going to continue in this mode, or will she, you know, go back to what's been bread and butter and highly successful for her, even from the days of the band she was in before she became Beyonce Knowles, the solo artist that we know today? And that's
right.
about all the time we have for Dr. Jane. It's been a lot of fun doing Shrink Wrap here, and happy to have you back here as we get into the new year.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's always fun and wonderful to be shrink wrapping with you. So thank you, Jay, for another insightful conversation. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Join me next month for a new episode of the Doctor on Call Hour with more fabulous guests. Be sure to visit me online at www.drjanegreer.com for relationship tips and advice. Check out my latest book, Am I Lying to Myself? How to Overcome Denial and See the Truth. Certainly a lot of that going on in today's world. It's available on Amazon. Check it out. And remember, you can always get what you want when you're in the know.
Thank you for joining Dr. Jane Greer for Doctor on Call. Listen to this episode again anytime on demand at healthylife.net. Keep up with Dr. Jane Greer's social media, blogs, magazine articles, books, and guest appearances at her website, drjanegreer.com. Dr. On Call with Dr. Jane Greer is produced and syndicated by healthylife.net. All positive, Web Talk Radio.